بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين. Welcome back inshallah for part 2 of our workshop on Hajj and Umrah. And when we left off before the break, we were talking about the Ihram. And the Ihram, again, is a rukn of the Hajj and Umrah. It's a pillar, it's a very, very important part. If anybody misses the Ihram, then their whole Hajj or their whole Umrah is invalid. If they forget to do the Ihram, the whole Hajj or the whole Umrah is invalid. It's a rukn. It's a very important part. And we mentioned that the Ihram is when one prepares for it by trimming the mustache, shaving the hair, taking a shower, praying 2 rak'ahs, getting the clothes ready. Then when they pass or get to the miqat, that place, the boundary point, then they say, Labbaik Allahumma al-Umrah. Oh Allah, I am at your service. I answer your call to perform Umrah. So this is how one enters into the state of Ihram. It's a very important part and a very important pillar of the the Hajj and the Umrah. There's one question that came to my mind that some people, they say, why did the mushrikeen, before the Prophet ﷺ came, they used to practice tawaf and they used to do sa'i and these things. So how did they know about those things? Or why did Islam just copy from them? This is what some of the Orientalists, they say about Islam. They say Islam, or the Muslims, they just copied off of what the mushrikeen used to do in Mecca and Medina. But does anybody know the response to this accusation they make? It was from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What happened is that when Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam came, some of the things that the mushrikeen were doing was actually they learned it from Ibrahim and his Ismail, and so it was still there. The remnants of Tawheed was still there. The Kaaba itself was part of the Tawheed, but they had put the idols around it and corrupted the Tawheed. So when Prophet Muhammad came, he was just bringing people back to what Ibrahim had taught them. So the rituals of Hajj, Allah taught Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet Muhammad, he showed us the proper way to follow in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay, so the Ihram, inshaAllah ta'ala, for in Talbiyah for women. Women, they also have an Ihram we talked about, and it's a sunnah also for a woman to take the shower and before her Ihram, even if she's in her menses, she still takes the shower. She still does the same things the men did. She shaves the hair and takes the shower. I hope she doesn't have to trim her mustache, you know. But she does everything else, inshallah. Inshallah. And a woman in her hayl, or nifas, at postnatal bleeding, she takes the ihram, but of course she doesn't pray after that, inshallah. There's no 2 rak'ahs. The 2 rak'ahs or the fard after getting in the ihram is a sunnah also. And the woman, she doesn't have to do it. She leaves that out, her ihram is still correct, it's still valid. And the majority of scholars, again, we talked about this, is about making the talbiyah. The woman, she makes talbiyah, and she can not make it loud if there's fear of fitna. What is ihram? Ihram means haram, it means forbidden. And what is forbidden? What are the prohibitions of ihram? The clothing is to wear clothing that, this is again talking about women, I don't know why. Okay, yeah, it looks like there's a problem here. Okay, the prohibitions of ihram for a woman, we'll start with a woman, she's not allowed to wear niqab. In the ihram, a woman cannot wear a niqab, cover her face, or wear the gloves. The Prophet forbade that. Unless she fears a fitna, so men are looking, she can use her clothes, her robe, or she can cover her hijab, but she shouldn't wear it on her face. She shouldn't wear the niqab, the mask, or a niqab, or even gloves. A woman is not allowed to wear that. She wears her normal clothes. For the man, he shouldn't wear any sewn clothing. Shouldn't be sewn to the shape of the body. Anything that shows the shape of the body, this is not allowed. It has to be unsewn. It doesn't have to be unstitched, because even the towels are stitched. The stitches are okay, but it shouldn't show, adhere to the shape of the body. And likewise, the shoes, one should not wear shoes that are above the ankles. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if you wear like khufs, you can wear them, but just cut them so they're below the ankles. So you can wear sandals, you can wear shoes that don't cover up the ankles, it's okay, inshallah. Okay, also, from the prohibitions of the ihram, is to avoid covering the head. Anything, can't wear a kufi, or amama, or anything over the head, for a man, of course. He's not allowed to put anything on his head. Anything on top of his head, he has to pay. He violated the ihram, he has to pay a fidya for that, if he did that. Also, cutting the hair is not allowed. Cutting the hair or trimming the nails, the person has to pay a fidya. Now here it's talking about the fragrance. Somebody, the brother, he asked a very good question about deodorant. Fragrance or perfume in general is forbidden. The Prophet ﷺ said you should not put perfume on your clothes or you shouldn't do anything, you shouldn't put on perfume. Here, the scholars, they say scented soap, if it's not too perfume, it's okay. You know, and even in the food, it's okay if there's a little bit of course, all the food has a good scent, so it's okay. Saffron is okay, but you shouldn't put it on your clothes or on your body, and you shouldn't wear dyed clothing that has coloring on it. You should avoid that. But when you put on your ihram, before you made the talbiyah, if you had put on perfume, you don't have to wash it off in that case. You can leave it on, even if it smells good. So even if you put deodorant on before you got into ihram, you can leave it on, it's okay in that case, inshallah ta'ala.
But you cannot put the fragrance.
You shouldn't put itr, you cannot put itr on afterwards, otherwise you violated the ihram. There's no. Because but beforehand you can put it on as much as you like. Even on the cloth itself you can put it on it.
Even after a shower?
Even after a shower you shouldn't put any perfume on. No. You can take a shower, this is a good question. When you're in ihram you can take a bath or a shower, you can change the clothes, no problem.
I mean shower
you can change the ihram clothes, no problem.
Shower before the ihram?
Before the ihram or even after you can still, there's a sunnah to take it at the time of ihram, but even afterwards. Say you feel like you want to take a shower, no problem. Go ahead, take the shower. But just be careful. You can rub the head, but you shouldn't deliberately cut hair or pull hair out or anything like that. That will violate one's state of ihram. Part of the goal of ihram is to, so people, they are unkempt in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not concerned with how they look. And also, you don't concern yourself about other people. The ihram, now you're going in front of Allah as if it's the day of judgment. You're only concerned about Allah. So part of that is try to look poor in front of Allah. You know, like in the rain prayer, the Prophet would take off his cloak and put it inside out. And sometimes he would put it upside down just to show that I'm not coming here with, you know, as I'm a beggar in front of you. To show his humbleness. Yeah, so that's part of the ihram.
But Imam Shah, I don't know whether you covered that or not, but you said for the women.
Yes.
You know, and men also they can.
They go into.
Perform Hajj?
Of course, yes. We talked. What happens to the woman? She can do everything except the tawaf. She does the ihram. She does the going to Arafah and going to the places. The only thing she doesn't do is the tawaf until she becomes pure. Then she does, and she doesn't pray. She doesn't pray her regular salah. But her hajj, everything is done, but she waits until she becomes pure to do the tawaf in the end. You know, the. It's okay, it's good here. It's a good question.
I went to feed you.
I know.
It's a good question, inshallah. Okay, so.
You said the hajj time.
Yeah.
Can the Arab. Unnecessary.
Sure.
Dirty.
No problem at all. No problem at all. Yes, you can change it. You can use a fresh ihram. There's no problem at all. Just not the pants. And the underwear, I know it's a common question, so I'll just address it. Most of the scholars say one shouldn't wear the underwear. But Aisha, she told some people that were holding her hawdaj, the workers, to wear underwear, and they were in ihram. So some of the ulama, they said that they thought Aisha's opinion was that it's allowed to wear the underwear. But when you look at that narration, what happened is when they would pick up her hawdaj, the ride that she would sit in on top of the camel, their private would be exposed. So she told them wear underwear in order to protect them from exposing themselves. That was the reason. So most of the scholars would say if there's a need for it, if somebody has an illness and they need that, it's okay to wear it. But generally, one should not wear anything sewn or stitched around the body. Of course, intercourse is forbidden. Any kind of touching, anything that leads to a foreplay or even speaking about it, is forbidden. Cleansing, you can cleanse, but you shouldn't remove the hair during this time. No shaving or clipping, no clipping the nails. But if the nail breaks, you can take it off. It's okay. The nail breaks.
If you do something, your hair comes back.
That's forgiven. Even if a few hairs fall out by accident, it's okay. This here, some of the scholars say it's okay to kill the lice and the bugs. There's no harm in that, inshallah. Taking a bath, it's reported that the Prophet took a bath, so it's okay. Some of the scholars have said only if you have janaba to be on the safe side, but generally it's okay, inshallah. Can you get married while in ihram? It's a tough. it's not allowed to get married. You shouldn't make a proposal either. You know, it's not the goal while we're going to Hajj. Say, oh, let me find a good wife for my son. We shouldn't be thinking about that during the Hajj, but afterwards it's okay. After, no hunting. Alhamdulillah, these days there's no need. There's alhamdulillah, a lot of food, but the hunting is not allowed, and you shouldn't assist somebody. If somebody killed an animal, what is the ruling, the expiation? If he killed a rabbit, then he has to take another rabbit and slaughter it in front of the haram and give it to the poor people. If he killed a deer, he has to find a deer, slaughter it, and give it to poor people. This is the expiation. If he can't find the animal that he hunted during the ihram, so then what he has to do is there should be two judges that are appointed, and they give a value to that animal. One sheep, two sheep, then he has to slaughter that value of the animal. This is the rule for the ihram. But a harmful animal is no problem to kill it. Also, what the expiation we talked about before. If you get married, there's no expiation. It doesn't. You don't. Your hajj is still valid, and you just make istighfar for it. And sisters, you can come forward, inshallah. If you can't see from in the back, sisters can come here and sit in the back, inshallah. Also, for sexual intercourse, we talked about this: a camel or a cow. It's a very big expiation. And they have to finish the Hajj, and they have to do it again the next year, and they have to make Tawbah. It's a very big violation. Then we talked about the fidya for hunting, is to kill the same animal. And also, if one violated, like by cutting the hair or clipping the nails, then there's a choice of three things. Either slaughtering a sheep, or feeding six poor people, or fasting 3 days. This is for cutting the nails, cutting the hair, anything like that, inshallah. There's an option. Most of the scholars say you can choose, but some of the scholars say you should do the sheep. If you can't afford it, then you do the other two, the feed six people or fast 3 days. And this is if it happens for a reason. If you were cold and you put something on top of your head, you still have to give the expiation. But there's no sin. So the Prophet ﷺ, he told some people they could wear the regular clothes, but they should give the expiation. They don't have any sin on them, but they should give the expiation. So some people that work for the Ministry of Hajj, they're wearing their regular uniform and they're performing Hajj. They don't have ihram on, their Hajj is accepted, but they have to give a fidya in that case. If you forget and you just put something on your head forgetfully, and then you remember and you take it off right away, then there's no fidya for that. You can hold an umbrella over your head, it's okay. Yes? Yes, the belt is fine, inshallah. You put a belt to hold your ihram, or you put money in it, there's no problem.
Yeah, they keep the five.
Yes, yeah, no problem with that, inshallah. Just don't let anybody see it. You know, because some people, they're very expert at opening it up, you know, when you're in So you have to, unfortunately, some people, they don't fear Allah. They didn't come there for Hajj. So it's good to tuck it inside, roll it up, and then inshallah, nothing will happen. Inshallah.
Otherwise, I don't always stay like there, but your cold is where, you know, I'm a very cold person.
Yeah, if it's cold, if you put on the jacket and you have an excuse, then you can do that and give the fidya.
Yeah.
Or you can put something on that's not sewn, like a blanket. Just wrap yourself in a blanket. It doesn't show the shape of the body, then there's no fidya in that case. Okay, this is interesting. If you realize you had to give a fidya, you violated the ihram, you can just go to this website and right over the internet you can do a fidya, you can do a slaughter right on the internet. SubhanAllah. Adahi.org. SubhanAllah. Okay. Now, what's permissible in ihram, sitting under a shade, one of the Sahaba used to throw leather on a tree and sit under that. So you can sit in a tent, you know, it doesn't count as covering your head. You can carry something on top of your head. You can wear sandals. You can wear a ring or a watch. A woman can wear jewelry. You can wear a hearing aid, eyeglasses, contact lenses. And you can scratch yourself. And I think Aisha was asked, she said, scratch as much as you need to. She said, if I had nothing, no limbs, only my leg, I would use it to scratch. It's okay. You don't have to be afraid to scratch because some hairs will fall off. And you can change your ihram. And you can, this question you asked about keeping a money belt, it's also permissible. Things to avoid when you're in the ihram, do not go, we don't want to cross the miqat. Don't want to go into Jeddah and then say, now I'm going to put on my ihram. Because Jeddah is inside the miqat, the boundary. Once you go inside the boundary, then you already passed the violated ihram. So then you have to give a sacrifice in that case. Ihram is the intention, not just the wearing the clothes, but to make the niyyah that's required for the ihram. Praying two rakats is sunnah, it's not wajib for the ihram. So if you're on the plane, you say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, when the pilot says, we're going over the miqat, you can't pray two rakats, then it's okay. It's a sunnah, inshallah ta'ala. Taking a ghusl for the ihram is sunnah also, but it's not required. And finally, uncovering the shoulder during the Hajj and Umrah. We'll talk about this, inshallah, in a minute. Okay, another thing is that you can wear stitched clothing. And also a woman, she can get into the ihram. She shouldn't say, I'm in my menses, I'm not going to make my intention. She can do that. There's no problem in doing it, inshallah. And for women, they don't have to wear white only. Women can wear black or any color for her ihram. And she should uncover her face and hands. And once you get into the state of ihram, this is very important. You have to finish it. Somebody, they started the ihram, they said, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah. Then they started doing the rituals, they did tawaf. Then they said, they got sick or they got a phone call and they said, I can't finish, and they leave. They cannot do that. That's a very big violation. They have to finish it. If they go and they leave, they have to come back. If they had relations, they have to do a slaughter. If they violated that ihram, because they're still in ihram. The ihram, you cannot get out of it until you finish it, until you go to that. So they have to come back and finish their rituals. And there's no way out unless when you make your intention, you say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, and you add the condition that you say, and my khuruj is haythu habasani. If I get stuck or in a difficult situation, then I'll go out of ihram at that time. So when you put on you make your niyyah for ihram, you put that condition that if I get in a difficult situation, I'm exiting ihram at that time, then you're allowed to do that. But if not, you have to finish. So that's something you can say. Inshallah. Yes.
I just want to ask, how long, you know, the ihram till you finish, or
the ihram? Yes. The ihram. Right now, what we're talking about now is the ihram, is that it continues until you cut your hair. So you put on your ihram, you arrive in Mecca, you go to the Kaaba the first time.
How many days?
You can finish it in one day. For Umrah, you can finish the Umrah in one day. The Hajj, you have to do it over the period of about 4 days. Yawm al-Arafah, then the Eid, then 2 days after Eid. The minimum is 4 days. Normally it takes 5 or up to 6 days. But so you'll be in that state of Ihram for that time until you cut your hair. Here's a picture of a satellite picture of the beautiful Haram in Medina, in Mecca. And what here you see, this is just giving an overview of the masjid. So when you go there, it will be familiar for you. That there is Safa, the mountain of Safa, and Marwa. So you run back and forth between those two points when you do the Sa'i. Here is the one of the main entrances, Fahad Gate and Abdulaziz Gate. There's many different gates, Fath Gate, Umrah Gate, and As-Salam Gate. That's near the Safa and Marwa. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was born nearby to Safa and Marwa. You show a picture here where they built this library nearby where he was born, in Mecca. Mecca was his birthplace. So that's the building now they put in that area where he was born. Yeah. It's a library. It says here, Maktabatu Makkah al-Mukarramah. It means the library of Makkah al-Mukarramah. You can go there. I mean, it's not part of this Hajj. You shouldn't go there as a religious act. You shouldn't think I'm going to get reward for it. But this is a historical thing, you know, if you can go around. But you shouldn't make it a pilgrimage site or something like that. That's not correct. Some people do that, and then it leads to becoming a ritual, and it becomes as if it was a holy site. And we don't want to do that. That's not part of the rituals. Right. Yes. It's a building. It's just a building, you know. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Take your manasik, your rituals from me. Khudhu anni manasikakum." The important part is anni, from me. He didn't go to that place. If there was some benefit in it, he would have brought us there. So it's just a historical place, but it's nothing to do with Hajj. There's no ajr in going there. There's no reward in going there. And here you see the Kaaba, it has a four corners. Okay, yes. See here, it says black stone corner. That corner is the corner that faces towards Safa and Marwa. And that's where you start. When you come, that corner, there's a black stone there. And when you walk in, you go right to that black stone. You start there, your tawaf. You can't start in other places. You go to that corner, you look at it, and you touch it or kiss it if you can. If not, you just point at it and you can kiss your hand and you say Allahu Akbar. This is how you start your tawaf.
I think they made a sign thing sometime.
There's a green light there, yes. There used to be a line on the ground. Alhamdulillah, they took the line out. Because many people, they would stop on the line and create a big problem. They say, you could see everybody thinking that line is part of the Kaaba or something. It was just supposed to be to help, to give people an idea, but people used to make their feet exactly on the line, and that's not from the Sunnah. You know, that they didn't. You don't have to do that, so in order to remove that problem, they just got rid of it. You know? Save people from tripping, you know, when they go there. So you start from the black stone, and the two important corners are the black stone corner, where you touch it, and then from the black stone, there's an area between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba. And that area there is called the Multazam. There's a place where the Prophet ﷺ said du'as are accepted. So to go there and hold on to the cloth there and cry and make du'a to Allah, that's a good place to make du'a, between the black stone and the door. The other important corner is the Yemeni corner, which points towards Yemen, and it's the one right before the black stone. That one also, it's a sunnah to touch that corner, but not to point at it. If you can't reach it, then there's no pointing. You don't point at it. You don't say Allahu Akbar. You just go by it. But if you're there, you can touch that corner also.
And middle of the Safa Marwa, there's a light.
Yes.
You see the light run, right?
That's where Hajar, our mother Hajar alayhi salam, she used to run. She ran in those places. Yeah.
She ran.
Yeah, so we run in that part. You can run there for the men. For the women, they don't have to. Okay, lost and found. And it's telling you the distance here, 2.23 miles, so it's not too bad. Now, how many times do you have to run back and forth? 7 times. So where do you start? From Safa or Marwa?
Safa.
Safa, then Marwa, and you come back, that's 1, right?
Yes.
Go to Safa and come back, that's 1. Then go again and come back 2, like this?
No,
right?
One.
Each, just going there and stopping, that's 1. Come back, it's 2, 3, 4. Where do you end up in the end?
Marwa.
You should end up in Marwa. If you're in Safa, then you did something wrong.
Right.
Yes, that's true.
It's odd number.
Odd number, yes.
We'll end up in Marwa.
Inshallah. Inshallah, the barber's over there.
Yeah.
On that side. Okay, so it's 2.23 miles. If someone's good at math, you can figure out. Times 7, it's 161.61 miles in total. It's not too much. It's not too bad. Okay, and then it tells you the diameter here. When you go around and do tawaf, the distance of the tawaf all around one time, 0.4 miles. So 7 times, 2.8 miles, if you do the outer edge. If you're up on the roof, it's a little bit more. The third floor, this is the third floor. The third floor is 0.4 miles all the way around. It's a long distance, almost 3 miles if you do it on the third floor.
So you take it easy, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, you can take your time. There's nobody up there. It's not crowded. And
exactly.
No.
Like
Alhamdulillah. Can you do tawaf from outside of the masjid? It has to be inside the masjid. Yeah, if you're out there, it'll take you a few days. So you can see how big it is. It's very big, mashallah. Okay. Now we have just the names of the hotels. If you're staying in different hotels, just to give you an idea of where they're located. So, anybody going this year, do you know which hotel you're staying? Do you know which hotel you're going to be staying in?
Yeah, Mom. What is it? Mom?
So, Mohit Big is in Medina, but probably you're staying over here in Zamzam.
You don't know which one the package is. Okay, yeah, the different package. There's a lot more than these. These are the big ones. The Tawheed, Hilton, and Meridian. These are different hotels. Okay. Here's another aerial view, and this is when they were constructing. They made the running from Safa and Marwa, they made it 3 floors. It used to just be 1 floor. So you can see, alhamdulillah. Yeah, now you can do it on the roof, you can do it in the middle, or all the way on the bottom. So it made it easier. And, okay, these are some expansion projects that they're working on. Right now, when you go there, you'll see a lot of cranes and a lot of work that's being done. They're going to make the masjid. You see how big they're making it now? They're expanding it much, much more. It's going to be much, much bigger in the future.
Towers too, right?
Yeah, yes. You can see.
This is
you see over here, this is all new. And right now, the masjid ends right here.
Yeah.
So all of this here is all expansion. And then they're going to have bridges, I guess, to go to the different areas outside. So this is all going to be new space where people can pray. Alhamdulillah. Okay, this is a picture, mashallah, the beautiful Kaaba, and the people are making tawaf. So many people here. And it's just showing you the hotels that are nearby. This is the door of the Kaaba. So here it's sunnah to stop here if you can and make dua there. This is the black stone right here on the corner. And this thing, you can hardly see it, this is Maqami Ibrahim. And that's where Ibrahim's footprint is, if you look inside. And over here is a wall where the Kaaba used to be. The Kaaba used to be here, but then, very, very interesting point in fiqh, is that the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Aisha, if your people were not new to Islam, I would have destroyed the Kaaba and rebuilt it on the original walls, where it used to come up to here. But he said, I didn't do it because the people, they're not ready for it. your people are close. He was talking to Aisha, and she said, if your people weren't so close to the time of Kufr, I would have done that. But it would have created a big fitna. You know, people would have said, why is he destroying the Kaaba? So see the hikmah the Prophet ﷺ used. He wanted to make it on the original walls, but he didn't do it. One of the later Khalifas, he said, now the people have been in Islam a long time, and he rebuilt it and he made it bigger. But then another Khalifa came along, he said, why did you do something the Prophet ﷺ didn't do? So then he took it down and put it back.
Right.
And then they came to Imam Malik, and you see the wisdom of Imam Malik. He said, what should we do? And Imam Malik, he said, leave it the way it is. I don't want the Kaaba to be a toy for the king. Leave it the way the Prophet ﷺ left it. This is, don't make it a toy that every person comes along and tries to do it his own way. This is a black stone corner here, and the one before it is the Yemeni corner. Corner over here points towards Yemen, and this one points towards Sham. What is Sham? Does everybody know?
Yeah.
Syria. Right. In Urdu is Sham, I think, right? And the Shami corner. And this one, what is it called?
American.
This one's called the Iraqi corner, right here. And the Zamzam water is over here. MashaAllah, the Zamzam, everybody knows the story how Angel Jibreel dug the Zamzam well. Now the millions of people, they drink as much as they can and never runs out. Millions and millions of people, they're drinking every day.
They drink, they take a bath with it.
SubhanAllah, yes. You can go. And from the signs, this drink, you're filled. And the munafiq, he doesn't like to drink a lot of zamzam. The Prophet says himself. So drink it, and zamzam lima shuribala. Whatever you drink to zamzam, you make dua, then it will help you to achieve that. If you want good health, you make the dua, Zamzam will give you that, inshallah. This is an easy meeting place. There's like a little gate here. So a lot of people, they meet by the Sahib gate. Okay. Now we have a little test here. Can you name it? What is this?
Maqam Ibrahim.
Good. Maqam Ibrahim, right? Good. Alright. What is this wall here? The wall back here. The original Kaaba is called Hijr. Al-Hijr. Or sometimes they call it Hijr Ismail. Al-Hijr, good. Okay, and over here? The one before the Maqam Ibrahim. Blackstone corner.
Iraqi corner.
This is the Blackstone corner. Because the Maqam Ibrahim is facing the door over here. So the one right here, this is the Blackstone. You don't want to go to the wrong corner and kiss it. You think you got the black stone.
Maqam Ibrahim, you pray for rakat.
Yes. And when you finish seven times, you go behind the Maqam Ibrahim and you pray two rakats. But I'll show you a picture in a minute and we'll see. This here is the one.
Yemeni
corner. It's sunnah to touch it if you can. And one over here, this is the Shami corner. And over there is Iraqi corner. Good. And this direction, if you go this way, where will it take you? Zamzam, right? The Zamzam taps. I think here they're going to say, the Zamzam. And this way here, you go to... there is a gate over there, but there's actually the place that you need to go next after you finish the tawaf. Safa and Marwa. When you come back towards the black stone, that way, you can run to Safa and Marwa. Now, this is the inside of the Kaaba. You've ever seen inside, if they wash it every year, they have a ceremony, they change the cloth around the Kaaba, and this is an ancient tradition. Even before Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, they used to put a cloth, and at one time they used to bring the cloth from Sudan. Sudan was a wealthy country at one time, and they would bring the cloth. And so we see here inside of the Kaaba. Also, you see there was a flood here in previous years. See how people are making tawaf by swimming? SubhanAllah. They had to make tawaf. They didn't want to stop making tawaf, so they still
want to stop. Right?
SubhanAllah.
Unless the first
Right. Only the first salah, right. Even during the khutbah, on Eid, for example, even Jummah, people still do the tawaf. There's a difference of opinion. Should you listen or should you do tawaf? So you see what happened before? Okay, they didn't show. Okay, when you first arrive, we're gonna stop. Maybe at 10 o'clock. Okay, because I know people have to work tomorrow.
Okay.
Maybe we'll continue. We'll decide a day. Inshallah, we can finish it. Inshallah, finish up. Inshallah. Okay, so we'll just finish this part here about the Umrah. The way that you do Umrah, you arrive at the masjid, and the first thing you do is you go first to the black zone. This is something, when you first arrive, the first time you do tawaf only, you're supposed to jog around it 3 times. Not walk slowly, but jog. That's called Rama. And the other thing is you're supposed to uncover your right shoulder. And the right shoulder. You take off, you have ihram here, you take off, you leave your right shoulder open. And you run by thrusting your shoulders forward to show your strength. Right, exactly. What happened is when the Prophet ﷺ arrived to do his Umrah, the mushrikeen, they were watching, and they said, they spread a rumor that the Muslims are weak and sick. So the Prophet ﷺ said, show them your strength, so run around and show your shoulders. So when the mushrikeen saw that, they said, MashaAllah, they're so strong. And so that was to show them the Muslim strength. So Umar, he said, when they thought Muslims were weak, we showed them the strength. But now Muslims are strong, why do we still do it? Why do we still do this ritual? Exactly what he said. He said, I'm never going to change what Prophet Muhammad did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, even though the reason we don't need it anymore, but we still hold on to a sunnah. And this is the difference that you see between Umar and other people. Anybody else would say, we don't need it anymore. But he said, I'm never going to change something Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. The right shoulder, they uncover it and jog only the first 3 laps. And then this is only for your first tawaf. After that, whenever you do tawaf, you just do it normally after that. Then, no, the first 3 you run, then the last 4 that are remaining, you just walk slowly the normal pace.
So when you enter the Kaaba, when you see the Kaaba first time, what dua is there?
There are some du'as. I don't know if there's a specific du'a. Some people, they mention some certain du'as that I can show you. I can look it up for you. In Fiqh al-Sunnah, the book, it has the du'as listed. But I don't know if the Prophet had a specific du'a. But there's some recommended ones, inshallah. Okay. And then, I'm sorry, one thing here. When you finish your tawaf, you go behind Maqami Ibrahim and you pray 2 rak'ahs. Let me see here if they have a picture here. Sorry. Yeah, okay, I'll just show you from here. So you're supposed to go right behind Maqami Ibrahim and pray 2 rak'ahs. But judging by this picture here, is it easy to go behind Maqami Ibrahim? So if you can't get behind Maqami Ibrahim anywhere in the masjid, that's why. Yeah, you can go anywhere. It's very difficult to do it from Maqami Ibrahim. Okay. So here, when you arrive at the Masjid al-Haram the first time, sunnah to take a ghusl, to go to your hotel, make a ghusl before you enter the masjid. And also, enter with the right foot, and you say this dua, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma iftahli abwaab rahmatik, and you can also say,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
This one here. This is also a sunnah, I think, to say that. A'udhu billahi al-azim, wa biwajhi al-kareem, wa sultani al-qadeem, min ash-shaytan al-rajeem. This is any masjid. Sunnah to say that when you enter, inshaAllah. It's a very, talk about it another time, a very beautiful dua, inshaAllah. So you see here, people are getting ready for salah. You make the... Yes, mashaAllah. There is certain times of the day where you can find it this way. There's certain times of the day when you can find it empty, like right after Fajr, people go home. Yeah, 3 o'clock, right before Fajr, many people are able to kiss the black stone at that time. People go home to rest the last part of the night. It's a good time to do the Umrah. You can enter from any gate. Okay, and Umar, he used to say when he saw the Kaaba, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, fahayyina Rabbana bis-salam. O Allah, you are the mercy, from you is, if you are the peace, from you is peace, O Allah, grant us the peace or greet us with peace. So we get to the black stone, and I think this is a good place to stop, inshaAllah ta'ala. Bismillah, it's 10 o'clock. So inshaAllah we'll finish inshaAllah another day. Is there a day that's convenient for
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. I can show you more about the, there's a more important things. We weren't able to finish actually talking about the Umrah. Should we just try to finish the Umrah part and then we'll do the Hajj next time?
Yeah.
I think maybe 5 minutes we'll be able to finish the Umrah.
Inshallah.
Just 5 minutes, we'll finish our Umrah together, inshallah. Inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so the black stone, inshallah. Black stone is here, and you see the image inside. They put perfume inside, but I'll show, there's a close-up image. When you enter, you go straight to the black stone. You say, Allahu Akbar, you touch it with your right hand, or you can kiss it and accept it to it. If you're not able to kiss it, then point your hand and kiss your hand. Otherwise, you just point to it and say, Allahu Akbar. And also, you do that in every circuit. Okay, here, they're just saying, if you cannot touch it, you make a sign towards it and say, Allahu Akbar, but you don't kiss your hand. Only if you touch it, then you kiss your hand. And you do that in every time you go in, every circuit. And here, the black stone, you don't have to do it. And Umar, he was a big man. And Prophet ﷺ, he told Umar, he said, you're a big person. If you go to the black stone, you're going to crush a lot of people. So he said, if it's easy for you, do it, otherwise leave it out. So that was his advice to Umar. So we can learn from that advice also. If it's easy, then we can go. Otherwise, we shouldn't push in that case. And also, we shouldn't hurt a Muslim. And, okay, the excellence of touching the black stone. Few quick things. He used to raise up the stone, will have eyes and a tongue on the day of judgment, bear witness to those who touched it. And the Prophet said, touching the black stone in the Yemeni corner removes the sins. The black stone is from paradise, it used to be white, and then because of the sins of the mushrikeen, it became turned black. And here's a close up image of the black stone. Actually, right now, the black stone is broken into pieces because of all the floods and the fires. And in fact, it was taken away for 21 years. There was some rebellious group that went and took the black stone and they took it out of the Kaaba for 21 years. Between the year 930 and 951. So alhamdulillah, 951 they brought it back, but it was damaged. So you can see now it's a number of pieces. And the rest is cement and they put perfume over it and it has a silver frame. Okay, so we do the tawaf around the Kaaba. We start from the black stone. The Kaaba is on your left. You go around the Kaaba 7 times. Kiss the black stone every time. Okay, now we talked about this, the Rama. Okay, here's a picture of the Rama. See how he's wearing it? This is how he has to do it, mashallah. He's getting ready to run around, you know, mashallah. Okay, here's a picture of the Kaaba. The black stone, the door, the hijr, the maqam Ibrahim, the Yemen corner. Okay. Okay, when we make tawaf, most of the scholars say you have to have wudu. We have to be in a state of wudu. The woman who's in menstruating, she shouldn't make the tawaf. Okay, 7 units. And tawaf has to be inside the masjid, touch the Yemeni corner. We talked about most of these things. Then when we go between the Yemeni corner and the black stone, there's a sunnah dua there. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban. I think all of us know this dua, so that's an easy one we can practice between the Yemeni corner to the black stone. Okay, and there's no particular du'as for each unit or each time you go around. Just whatever comes to your heart. The best du'as from your heart, you can read Qur'an. You go around, read Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad, you can read Qur'an. Make du'a for other people, make du'a for the ummah, make du'a for the believers who are sick. It's always good to do that. There's no sunnah to touch the walls as you go around. Mm-hmm. Some people they hold on as they go around. There's no sunnah to do that. Inshallah ta'ala. And also, if you have to break your wudu during the tawaf, you have to start over again from the beginning. Right. If you finish three and you started your fourth, then you broke your wudu, you go, you can refresh your wudu, and then you start with your fourth one. You start where you left off. So that's okay. And even if you have to pray, you can continue, you don't have to start over again. And there is one rukhsa that some scholars, they say that some old people, they're so old, if they have to go make wudu and come back, it's so crowded, it's too hard for them. And so according to some ulama, you don't need wudu for tawaf. A minority, the Hanafi school says that. So they can follow that rukhsa and finish their tawaf, even if they don't have wudu. Because if they go back and make wudu, it's so hard for them. And if you have any doubts, you just do seven, you do an extra one. If you think, did I do seven or six or seven, just do one more to make up for it. This is the part that we talked about, the multazam, between the door of the Kaaba and the black stone, to make dua. Oops, let's see here. Okay, and here is Maqami Ibrahim. And when you finish the seventh round, you go back and you make two rakahs behind the Maqami Ibrahim. You stand behind it here and you make two rakahs if you can. Now, let's see here. Tell me if you think you can make if you can get behind the Maqami Ibrahim. You see this here? This is a crowd. You're probably not going to be able to get there, you know, in the crowd. So you just pray wherever you are. Inshallah. No. Okay, this is inside. This is the actual Maqami Ibrahim, not that dome. This is the actual Maqami Ibrahim, these footprints here, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then you go to the Zamzam well, and drink the Zamzam water, and pour some on your head, and you go back to the black stone and say Allahu Akbar, and try to touch it if possible. And you can see that, alhamdulillah, they have Zamzam everywhere now in the Haram. They even say hot, warm, or regular. You can get cold Zamzam or regular if you want to have, if you don't want it to be too cold. Okay. And the Zamzam is whatever it's drank for. And Zamzam satisfies like food cure for food and cures illness. And the dua that Ibn Abbas used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifa'an min kulli da'a. Oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, abundant provision, and a cure for all disease. I think we still have a few more things to finish.
Yeah, we can start from here.
We'll start from the Safa and Marwa and we'll finish. Let me see how many, let's see what we have here. Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and then the cutting of the hair. Yeah, there's a little. Yeah, that's it.
We're going to do it slow.
Inshallah, we'll continue next time. Inshallah, we can continue next time from this side. Safa and Marwa, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.